Try and get set up here. Are you ready to record? You're already recording. Okay. Hebrews chapter 1 and 2. So, but Hebrews 1. Well, let's start with prayer first. That's a major part, I think. We need God's guidance. Is it? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your provisions to us, Lord. We just thank you that we have a day set aside to come and worship you openly and freely. Lord, we think of the countries that they can't do that. We just thank you for your grace to us, for the free nation we're in for now, Lord, and just thank you for all you do for us. Lord, we just thank you for Junior Church down below, Lord. Just pray you be with them. Guide the teacher there, Lord, and thank you for the kids that are out today. We thank you for each one here today, Lord, and just pray as we look in your word that your words will flow through me, Lord. My words are mumbled and jumbled, but you provide, and we just thank you for that. Thank you for your love in all things, and just pray as we look in your word that you guide us and direct us. Pray this in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. Is that better? Thank you. Hebrews 2, verse chapter 1. Chapter 1, I haven't read it, but it's important because I'm starting with chapter 2, and it says, let me get right, there we go, doing good this morning. It's awful easy up here, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah.
So Hebrews 2, verse 1 says, therefore, so we had to look at chapter 1 to find out what we're talking about. Chapter 1, it talks about the angels. You know, in the Old Testament, the Jews, the angels were sent a lot of time to the Jews, and the prophets were back there in the Old Testament. So now we come to the New Testament, and the Lord Jesus is here, and people are saying, we're under Moses, we're under the Old Testament. What you're doing is wrong. Or you can have your New Testament, but we have to go back to Moses. We have to be under law. We have to have what we had from before, from the prophets and the priests, and from the angels coming down. So this whole chapter is talking about God saying, look, Jesus is my son. The angels worship him. You need to obey him. You need to listen to him. He's the one that came. He's the one that shed his blood. The Old Testament saints couldn't go to heaven until the Lord Jesus came. The blood was shed. The next day when he rose, he took the ones from the Old Testament up to heaven with him. There was nothing there. They couldn't go up because they're not covered by sin. I mean, they had the faith, but the sacrifice had not been done at the time. And we're so thankful that we live where we do now. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have God guiding us. We have his word complete. Back then, they had to be told by, read the Old Testament. The Old Testament did point to the Lord Jesus. The Old Testament did show that faith led to salvation. But until a Redeemer came and died on that cross and shed his blood, the Lord Jesus God could not look through the Lord Jesus' blood. He could only see our sin, and what their blood was covered was by blood of the animals, which they sacrificed. But once the Lord Jesus came, sacrifice was given, and that covered the blood. That blood covered their sins, which allowed the Lord to see them. But God could see them, and that's why they could go to heaven. And that's what I had poor Jim read all that for that reason. That's majorly. So I wanted to go to Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, and that same at any time we should let them slip. That's a special word that's been used most times. What does it mean to slip? Well, we live around the ocean, right? So if somebody ties a boat up, would you dare have me tie it or my grandson back here tie it? Who can tie the better knot? You just throw a loose knot on the mooring there, it can slip and you can go drifting away, right? And we're anchored in God's word and spend every day in God's word. We're anchored there, but if we get caught up with the world, we can slip away, right? Where we can drift, as my word today is, which they say is interactive with slip back in the day. I mean, there's sometimes drifting is fun. I mean, a few weeks ago, we had Maureen, my cousin here. Her father used to go out fishing when he was retired, and he would go fishing out in the bay there. But sometimes he didn't fish. He just, you know how it is? The motion of the waves, you just sitting there drifting and you're sleeping. But thankfully, even with all the currents, the other fishermen were watching him. So if he drifted too far, they make sure they woke him up and took care of him. And that's why we have to be careful ourselves, too, is drifting. We can drift away sometimes. We can get caught up with every Sunday going somewhere that we shouldn't be going. You know, something comes up. Oh, there's a football game today. I have to stay home and get prepared. So I have to go do all this cooking. So if anyone comes to football, I can stay there and watch it, right? Or I have to have a party or whatever else. What makes us drift in life? You know, you get saved at one time. You said to the Lord Jesus, if you haven't, we all know the verse, right? For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. But whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do we remember that? Do we say that with as much joy now as we did when we first got saved? Do we keep that in our hearts? You know, Mark and Susan, I mean, they get married a long time ago. It was great joy that day for Mark. But does he have that joy today, or even more so? We get saved in life. Do we have that joy today that we had many years ago, you know? Do we keep our eyes upon him? Do we love him like we did? Do we survive that way? We come to church. How many messages have you heard, Susan? Maybe 6,000 over years? Me too. Some of you have not heard that many messages. But how much more do we owe God for what he gave to us? I was showing Susan earlier. We used to go to church and we get pins. This is like they give you the outer ring, the inner ring. That's 6 years of going perfect attendance to church. You know, by God's grace, I was able to do that. But you know what was even more so? We had no vehicle. That's 6 years of somebody driving me to church. That's why when you say, hey, I don't want to bother somebody, but God wants you in church no matter what happens in life. So if you don't have a ride, I'd be willing to go for you because I can drive now. Back in, I had no car, no way to get there. But by God's grace, for 6 years, I was in God's work. At least that was back in the day where you get perfect attendance. But, you know, it's not bragging that up. I'm just thanking the verse that took me. To live out that, where would I be today? In all things. But we have a Lord that loves us. Now, I want to go back to that song we last sang. What was the number on the 17. I'll put the words up there for a second. Let me read the story of the author for the one that wrote this song. Number 17, Come Thou Fount. British pastor Robert Robinson penned these words at 22 years old. In 1757, he had been converted under the preaching of George Whitfield. At the age of 26, he became the pastor of Stone Yard Baptist Chapel in Cambridge. He preached salvation through Jesus Christ alone, and the church grew to over 1,000. Can pastors get sidetracked? But after a few years, Robert started drifting from what he heard. A liberal Unitarian professor challenged his belief in the Bible. Robert literally fulfilled the words of his song, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. In his letters to friends, he indicated he had embraced Unitarian doctrine and no longer believed that Jesus was God. Somebody wrote a beautiful song, somebody preached and led people to God. He could still drift. You know, it's hard not to drift. You know, you're in service in the summertime, it's 80 degrees in here, and your mind ponders and wonders. We do drift. But do we drift away from God? Do we get caught up in, oh, let's stay home with the air conditioner on tonight, not go to church? Do we drift away? He stopped reading and preaching the Bible, and his church began to decline. Over several years, he lost the joy of his salvation struggle and in his ministry. Do we keep our joy fulfilled? Do we pray? Do we read God's word? Do we study? According to Bible scholar Warren Wiersbe, one day Robert was riding in a stagecoach from Cambridge to London, and young Moody was reading a book. So he turned to Robinson and said, "Sir, this is a wonderful hymn. Do you know it?" He recognized it as "Come Thou Fount." He broke down and confessed he had written the words of a song as a young man, but now he felt he had wandered far from God. The young lady said, "But as you wrote, God's streams of mercy are never ceasing." And through his encouragement, Robert was restored to the Lord and rediscovered the joy of his salvation. He started believing and preaching the gospel again, and he faithfully served the Lord until he died at 55. You can drift away, but you can also return to God. What a wonderful song. But even the writer, who became a pastor, drifted away. How do we keep our eyes upon God? How do we serve him? Where do we spend our Sundays? Where do we spend our days? I mean, Sunday, it says the Lord recommends that we fellowship together. That's why we come to Sunday. I mean, none of us are perfect here. We're all going to do something to make you upset or do something to you, but God is still here. We have to lift each other up. "Come Thou Fount of every blessing." I won't sing it because my singing is not good. "Tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love." Here I'll go ask you a question now. Verse 2. "Here I raise my Ebenezer." Do you, any of you know what that is? We sing it, don't we? Do some of you think it may be Ebenezer Scrooge or something? No, that's a name, right? No, Ebenezer was in Samuel. 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Israel had gathered together. They had been sinning so long that they said, "Well, it's time we return back to God." So we went to this place to worship God. And they're confessing their sins and serving God. Then the Philistines heard that they were all in one place. So the Philistines came to go after them, to fight them. And they cried unto God. And God provided a great storm, so they turned upon themselves and killed each other and got chased away. The Philistines did. So as you're an Israelite, they usually put a rock or something to show something special. So they put a rock here and they called it Ebenezer to remind them. "A nation repents and seeks the Lord." That's what they were doing. So it says here, "Here I raise my Ebenezer. Here I raise my stone, my marker. Hereby by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God." You know, we sing a lot of songs, but it's interesting to find out the biblical part of it, the heartfelt of it. And the sad part was he did drift, but the Lord brought him back. How many times do we drift in a day? How many times do we let our mind wander? How many times a day do we say, "I did this," and nothing we do is of ourselves. The Lord provides the grace for us to do it. Our jobs, our spouses, our families, church to worship in. I mean, this church has been here for probably 125 years or whatever. It's still here. Was it perfect all the time? No. Is any church perfect? Well, if it is, then call that heaven. They call us a hospital. We all need to be healed day by day and taken care of, because we ourselves fall so many times. And yeah, if I say a word and upset you, don't run away. Come and tell me, please. You know, that's what happens sometimes, you know. Somebody says the wrong word, don't even know it. Sometimes they do know it. That's when it should be brought to them anyway. All in life. "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I constrain to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wonder, Lord." He told it in the song, "Prone to Wonder." Oh, wow. Prone to leave the God I love. The one way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus. I mean, if he was saved, you don't lose what you have. But wow, to leave the God you love. Here's my heart, I'll take and steal it to thy courts above. You know, we go through life and we see people wandering, we see people astray. We see people do stuff on Facebook and say stuff on Facebook. We see a lot of stuff online. Sad to say. I've seen good pastors write stuff that has no sense. They're here to serve God. We have a pastor that we know, Susan and I at least. He's writing that stuff that's evil to me. We're here to serve God. You post something online. Post your love of God and what he does for you. And all things, you know. Life is important. We think it's great here. This life is just passing through. We're here to serve God in all things and love him. People say, well, I have a plan B. I'll do some good work, so I'll take some food to somebody. I'll do something good. They'll get me to heaven. Sad to say, God says there's only one way. One way through his son, the Lord Jesus. He gave his most precious gift for us. He gave it all for us. My mind's been wondering as I study this, it's hard, you know. You read a verse and you go to another verse and you go to another verse and say, hey, so, you know, I put it off to next time. I'll concentrate on this right now. But there we are drifting. But, you know, you can tie that boat to the dock pretty good sometimes, right? But sometimes you just tie it to, you don't be very short time, but you don't leave. Sometimes a storm comes up, right? We were up to camp there. My grandson was pouring down rain. The wind was whipping. The boat was flipping up and down. He went and retied the boat. Sometimes we need to go back to God's word for some more security, don't we? But that's what we're supposed to be for each other here too, right? Sometimes we need prayer for each other. We always need that. You should always pray, but sometimes there's something special. Sometimes we don't want to tell people what that prayer request is. That's why we use, quote, unspoken. Please, I have an unspoken prayer. Please pray for me, you know. The Holy Spirit's praying for you. You're praying for yourself. There's no church here that wants to pray for you too. And you don't have to tell us why. You just say unspoken, please. That's what takes us to heaven, right? That's what uplifts us as a family here. We're serving each other. Let's keep our eyes upon him. And if you're a person drifting, know that people are praying for you in this family. You can drift and do all you want to in life. There's a family hurting here, praying for you. I've been here 30-some years now, right, dear? We've been hurt because people leave. We don't know why. They use different excuses. We pray for them and put them in God's hands because it's out of our hands. You go visit and all things are great, but they don't come to church. COVID was a great thing for churches too, right? Couldn't go to church. Fools. Boy, how quickly things changed. We thought churches were great, and suddenly you couldn't go to church, but you go to the alcohol store and buy what you wanted to. Go to Walmart. But, you know, we look at things and we judge them in our humanity. God has a perfect plan. We look at our presidents, our leaders, rules and regulations. Nothing gets done unless God gives them permission to do that. God puts him in rulers. He has his own timestamp for stuff. And we sit back and shot sometimes. But God is never surprised. He always knows what's coming. He wants us to pray to him about it, do what we're called to do, but whichever way we're supposed to. But that's the world. He wants us in his word, studying His Word, serving Him. And as you're truly saved, you start drifting. Sometimes you feel like a pincushion hitting you. The Holy Spirit's inside you. You're saved. You suddenly feel, oh, I feel sick. I don't feel good. I better stay home. But, you know, the Holy Spirit's probably inside you saying, you need to go to church. You need to go turn that music on to God's words, you know, Psalms. One thing we never are supposed to do is stop. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. To read God's word, read His word over and over. Yeah, you can read several chapters a day, but sometimes all it takes is one verse to guide you and direct you in all that you do. What do we do in life? 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Our God's the constant. The Lord Jesus came and died. That, to me, is a fact. To me, by faith, alone. He died, rose, and went to heaven, sat on the right-hand side of God, as we've read. He's there as our lawyer. Not like these worldly lawyers. He's there because He shed His blood. He covered our sins, and He covers our sins daily. I mean, you're perfect, and come take my place here, please. But if we mess up so much every day. Remember Peter, he said that he didn't want the Lord Jesus to wash him, wash his feet. We need to have the Lord Jesus wash our feet every day. We walk through this world and we're like a magnet. Things attract to us from the world, and it's hard to get rid of that stuff. Ephesians 4:14 said to say, many are tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine. Ephesians 4:14 says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's why we come to church. That's why we pray that the churches use God's word and preach from it. And we ourselves are supposed to study it. But we as a group, even at Sunday night sometimes, we sit around that table and we discuss God's word and people's thoughts. But it all comes down to God's word. What's not black and white, sometimes we can argue over. I mean, when I was at school one time, I guess he was a valedictorian, and he was a 4.0 student. He would talk to a philosophy teacher, and they'd be discussing stuff beyond my range. But, you know, that was should have been left to, when they should have talked to side on that. You know, when you're teaching up here, you should be talking about everybody can hear and understand. You don't teach algebra to a student that's taking first year math or something. But we get taught to side by doctrines. Well, people can talk you into anything, I guess, because sad to say, we see a lot of churches that believe in God and read His word that these people leave and go like this guy did, get caught up in the world. Different doctrines, different theology. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2, back to where we were. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? If in the Old Testament they were taught by the angels and by prophets, and saw signs, how much more should we? The Lord Jesus came, died, rose again. We have a complete record in His word here. How much more should we believe? And especially, we're given the Holy Spirit within us to guide us. You know, do you call upon the Holy Spirit? Do you let Him guide you? Do you read His word and let Him show us the way? Or do we get caught up too much? You know, people say God is a gracious God. He'll never judge us. Sad to say, guys, he already judged. There's angels and there's demons. That's a major judgment right there. They're wiped out. Well, we're better people. Well, the angels went to God. They were in heaven with God. Yet even there, one angel said, I'm better than anybody. Lucifer. You think he's a demon with horns? No. He was the most beautiful angel there ever was. Created special. And he still goes and talks to God personally. We talk through prayer. And the demons know the Lord Jesus and bowed down to him. What ran, it fell from him. Yet, do we think God doesn't judge? Well, the demons are judged. And at one point, they'll be thrown into the lake of fire with everything else. Some of them are already into the bottomless pit already, since they're such evil demons. No, God's perfect. He will never, he doesn't hate. God doesn't hate. He loves us. He sent his son to die for us. What do we do? You do something nice for somebody and then they turn around saying how bad you are. You know, we're seeing that sadly in this world today. But we have to realize Satan is prince of power of the air too. But growing up, I didn't realize how bad it would get. In the last few years, our eyes have changed. We always knew, but man, throwing fright in our faces now. Do we love the Lord? Do we serve him? No, we're not perfect. But do we read his word? Do we come out to services? Do we invite other people out? Do we offer them rides? I mean, we have 100 and some people at home that are listening, that we listened to this last week or whatever, 2 weeks ago. Are you at home and do you need a ride? Do you have your own car? A fellowship? We're not perfect, but we're here to help and to be with you, you know? Do we listen to the love? Are we drifting? You know, it says people in the Old Testament listen to angels and prophets. We have the Holy Spirit within us when we get saved. How much more sore punishment do we deserve if we walk away? But God's grace is upon us, you know. Verse 4 there, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with the diverse miracles and the gift of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. We see in the New Testament and the Old Testament, things were done. We've seen Paul, was it just the Kleenex taken from him and given to somebody that could be healed? We can read about it. We read about the disciples, what they could do. But now, this Bible's finished. We can read it. We see what's coming to us. Tribulation, 1,000-year reign. We can look ahead. We can look back. Jesus came, died, and rose again. Victory's there. But we act like we're defeated. I'm just not talking to you. I'm talking to myself a lot, too, here. You know, I was reading, I don't know where you've been reading about Paulette Matthews there or not. She has cancer. She's going to pass away soon. The Lord's blessed. And I'll read something that she posted online a little bit about, if that's okay. What an adventure life has been since being in the hospital for over a week in September. There's nothing like being very sick to snap your perspective into a deeper level of what you are truly thankful for every day. Every breath and every step we take is a gift from God. Yes, even when we are sick. After I got home and was trying to conquer my secondary infection from the pneumonia, you could hear me when I was the sickest, reverting back to childhood. I get up for a bathroom run in the wee hours with Jamie's help, which is her husband. Or should I say a bathroom flood run. The nerve pain would hit, and that would trigger the flood from my bladder at the same time. My body chose us to deal with pain before peeing. I've been learning about a new continent a lot lately yet again. My new continent is incontinence. Did you know what comes in degrees too? You can learn to embrace 25 times its weight. Depends, she says. I still need to write that company a thank you note. What are we thinking about? You know, pain. The moment I stood up, my version of a mad dash to the bathroom with my walker was on. You would hear my hoarse voice coughing, voice singing. Jesus loves me, this I know. You know, we walk through life with a splinter or something. Oh man, I can't live today. There she is, saying, Jesus, I love, you know, or whatever childhood came to mind. Jamie did chuckle during one of my renditions when I said, now everybody join in. There she's in pain, going to the bathroom with just her husband there. Of course, it's just the two of us here in the wee hours. I needed to keep my brain focused on God and not the pain. So horse singing in is the praise I could offer. Make a joyful noise before the Lord. He accepts our praise when done with a sincere heart. But I'm sure my neighbors are glad they couldn't hear me. Wow. That's just a shame, you know. God's love is for each one of us. He's there for us. Let's see how far I'm going here. I do have a poem here, which I think would be good. There most certainly exists an almighty, all-wise, and an infinitely gracious God. I'm sorry, Lois, you still hearing me, or am I off tilter here? He has given me in times past and has given me at present, if had but my eyes to see it. You know, we go through life and we think, oh, it's just us, but God is there every moment, every day. Many and signal and intimations, sorry, of love to me, both in a way of providence and grace. This love of his is immutable. He never repents of it nor withdraws it. Where it comes to pass in time is a result of his will from everlasting, consequently. My afflictions were a part of his original plan and are all ordered in number, weight, and measure. But very hairs of my head are, maybe have hair, everyone counted by him, nor can a single hair fall to the ground without his knowledge and consent. Hence, my distresses are not the result of chance or accident, but the provincial accomplishment of God's purpose and designed to answer some wise and gracious ends. Nor shall my afflictions continue a moment longer when God sees me. He who brought me to it has promised to support me under it and carry me through it. All shall most assuredly work together for his glory and my good. Thus, the cup which my heavenly Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink of it? Yet I will, in strength he imparts, rejoicing in tribulation, and commit my soul to him who makes no mistake. Look at Paulette. She has grace from God. The Lord says he'll never give us more than we can handle. I don't think I could have done what she's doing right now. Maybe I will have to in the future. But what I've learned from her, by grace we give to God. By grace we live on him. Are we drifting today? Are we walking, drifting away some days? Or do we keep our eyes upon God? We fall down in the sand, don't we, sometimes? You know, he carries us along. We had a couple in church. She couldn't walk. He had to lift her, take her places. You know, he can do that as a human, but God does that as God. You know? What great love to carry your spouse around. to do all he did all those years. That's a guy on the island we know. But God's there for us every day beyond that. We look at examples in life, and it saddens us. We look back and see where we failed at many times. On that Sunday, when it's 80 degrees in here, and you're sitting down, and you're nodding, and the pastor's preaching, and where's your thoughts, you know? Where do we serve? What loving Savior we have. Keep our eyes upon him. You fall down, need help, please reach out. You need a ride to church, please reach out, you know? We use a lot of excuses in life. We should not. Yeah, we have some bad pastors along the way. Most pastors do have troubles. I had a pastor call me. After a while, I said, sorry, pastor, I can't have you heart me anymore. So I hung the phone up. He apologized the next day. Do you stay away because of that? This is where we come to worship God. And we're all human. And, you know, I look back to Samuel when Eli's sons were running the temple. They had only one temple to go to. They abused a woman back in. They did sin to them. But people still worshiped. And life's past. Somebody says one word to you and causes trouble. I'm sorry. You know, but what do we do for God? What keeps us in worship? They say, oh, you change the carpet, you change the curtains, that'll split a church. Right? Isn't that the old saying? Are we gendered? I mean, do we listen to God? Do we go to God about everything? That pastor chewed me apart. He apologized, but you know, do I walk away at that moment? I'm here to serve God. I mean, pastors come and go. I think I should have spoken up more times than I did back in the day. Because some people do get caught up. But we all get confused. We all can say something wrong. But we're here as a family, so please, love each other. Serve God. Love God. Wow, Paulette. You know? But, you know, beyond all that, God loves us. He sent his son for us. We get saved. Did you holler and change your whole life, right? Have you slowly turned back to your old life, or are you still serving the new life? Are we still growing day by day? Mark, will you close in prayer, please?
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for